right, for sports fans, sports are a joy and an escape. And in really tough times, they can become a rallying point, even for maybe the non-ball and stick oriented among us. And that has been so true here in Boston, especially over the last 20 years when our teams have been ascendant, especially during some deeply challenging times for the rest of us. Remember David Ortiz speaking to Red Sox fans on the day Fenway reopened after the marathon bombing.
This is a city. And nobody gonna dictate our freedom. Stay strong. Thank you.
As Big Papi also said that day, he said the jerseys don't say Red Sox, they say Boston. We have spent the last year dealing with some really dark times and grim realities. It's been hard. So we need that escape more than ever. But is it still here for us in Boston sports? Let's check the score on that with Radio Boston's Chris Siderick. Hey there, Chris.
Oh, got chills, Tiziana. Chills. What a moment.
You know, me too, Chris, and I was thinking about it because we had had Red Sox tickets the game was canceled because of the bombing and rescheduled for that day. So my husband and my kids and I were in the stadium in Fenway when Big Papi made that speech. One of my kids is a baseball fan, the other one isn't. But we all remember that moment. We all valued that moment because of the sense of community and resilience that it gave us. It, you know, we were being together. And then for the sports fan, there was also this sense that the Red Sox could win for us that day and that that victory would be great. What is it about sports that helps us transcend our toughest moments?
Yeah, I love you use the word resilience there because I think sports has this unique ability that when you're watching something special, you actually can tell in the moment, this is something that's truly going to be special and something that's going to be iconic throughout the city or the team franchise's history. And, you know, David Ortiz that day in five words, I think, really captured what so much of Boston and New England was feeling. And, you know, you say it's the first time fans were back in Fenway. It was less than 24 hours since the manhunt had ended. And, you know, folks were hurt and scared and confused and angry. And yet in five words, Ortiz kind of brings it all into clarity and taps into that communal resiliency. And I think it was just such a powerful moment. And it makes me think of a moment from actually earlier that same week. On Wednesday, 2 days after the bombing, the Bruins had a game at the Garden. And there was kind of a back and forth. Should they play? Should they not? And I will never forget Rene Rencourt, who for years sang the anthem at Bruins games. Here he is 2 days after the marathon bombing. Just listen to the emotion in his voice as he starts the anthem. And then as the crowd comes in to lift him up, he just lowers the mic.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proud.
This is 2 days after the bombing, and you've got 17,000 plus people singing along. And so you'd imagine, okay, as they're going through this anthem, they're probably going to get a little disjointed. Tempo's not going to be quite right. Folks are going to fade out. But just listen to the energy of the crowd as they come to a close. I mean, just absolutely electric. The crowd breaks out into a USA chant as the cheers fade, and the Bruins go all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals a couple of months later. It really was just such a source of inspiration for folks all over the region.
So there's more to this, Chris, and I do want to note the Sox were strong that year. You've got the Bruins going all the way to the Stanley Cup. There's more history there of resilience after tough times when a Boston sports team was great when we needed them to be. Take us back to really the first time in that run.
Yeah, the first instance is really interesting to me because it wasn't just for Boston or for New England. It was actually for the country. And I'm going to say the Patriots, which immediately folks are going to think, no way, the country was rooting for the Patriots. But take yourself back to February 2002. Super Bowl 36. This is just 5 months after the attacks on September 11th. You remember the halftime show that year? U2 performed this emotional version of Where the Streets Have No Names, and all the names of the 9/11 victims were scrolling across the backdrop. But to the game itself, you know, the Patriots were 14-point underdogs against the Rams, coming off a 5-11 season the year before. So they weren't even supposed to compete with this team. You know, the Rams were called the greatest show on turf. They were this offensive juggernaut. And I just want to – something about this team was so special, I really want to tap into it. So back in the day, for years and years during the Super Bowl, teams would announce their players one by one, and folks would individually come into the stadium. And the Rams did just that in February 2002. Here's a little bit of what that sounded like.
And wide receiver from North Carolina State, number 88, Torrey Holmes.
So you have the Rams offense come out player by player, and everybody takes their little their victory lap. And then all of a sudden, this happens.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, choosing to be introduced as a team, here are the American Football Conference champions, the New England Patriots.
So again, pretty staggering to hear folks cheering for the Patriots like that. You don't hear that anymore. Yeah. But, I mean, this game was just so symbolic of the time. It's a tight battle back and forth. It's tied 17-17. Tom Brady, who at that point is a sixth-round draft pick, backup quarterback, who's only there because Drew Bledsoe got hurt, drives his team down the field as time expires. Adam Vinatieri hits a 48-yard field goal with 0 seconds left on the clock. Red, white, and blue confetti explodes all over the field and rains down on players and fans. And it really did feel like an absolute triumph for the country in that moment.
So, Chris, you know, I've got goosebumps. I'm remembering all of that. It really does underscore that whether you're a sports fan or not, there is this thing that sports and victory and somebody to root for can do for us. That was 20 years of greatness for Boston sports teams. We are in a tough, tough time now, a year into a pandemic. And you and I wanted to do this today because we're asking the question, can Boston sports do that for us now?
Yeah, it really does feel like we need it now more than ever. And you know me, I'm an eternal optimist. I'm 100% a homer. So I want to believe that it is still here within the Boston teams. There are plenty of folks who are saying Boston's run is definitely over. It's done. I'm not sure exactly who the best hope is, which is really interesting. You've got the Bruins are playing pretty well, but they've had a couple of tough finishes the last couple of years. You know, 2 years ago, they went game seven of the Stanley Cup Finals. We talked about what a missed opportunity that was. And then last year, they have the season get shut down and then restarted a few months later. They were crushing during the regular season, couldn't quite recapture that rhythm. So I think a lot of folks were hoping the Celtics would really pick this up. You've got two young superstars that are potentially two of the best players in the league, but they really just haven't captured that team chemistry that it takes to kind of take them to that next level.
And they could, you think?
I do. They're still so, so young. I think people are ready to write this team off and say we need to blow it up and shake things up. But, you know, they haven't had all their guys healthy. They've been missing Marcus Smart for a while. Not to say Marcus Smart is the answer to everything. But he does bring, I think, what this team is so sorely lacking right now. And that's a sense of accountability, a sense of toughness. You really need players to be able to fight for each other and to be greater than just the sum of their talents, to act as a cohesive unit. And hopefully a guy with that kind of intensity can start to hold these guys accountable to each other. And you also hope to see Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown continue to develop as young superstars and maybe take on a greater leadership role as they grow.
But that means we are asking a lot of our athletes to carry us through these times, Chris.
We are. And I, you know, it was something I was thinking a lot about as actually we were watching the Tiger Woods story play out over the last week or so. Tiger was in a terrible car accident last week and had to be removed with the jaws of life and, you know, shattered his right leg. And for about 24, 48 hours, all we knew was that he had critical injuries. But so much of the writing was about, will he come back? Will he play golf again?
Yeah.
I just think it's so important to remember these are people, these are humans who are feeling the same things we're feeling.
Well, and sometimes they lift us up outside of ourselves. That's Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick. Chris, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.